Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And I'm going to give you a classic example and a Wisconsin example of what I mean when I say that the even mainstream of the Republican Party is part of the problem, sowing or instilling the cancer in our society that somehow our elections are not trustworthy. It's not just the nuts. It's not just Trump. It's not just Tucker Carlson. It's not just crooked Mike Pompeo and the rest of them. It's most of the Republican leadership by wincing and sighing and saying, well, you know, maybe there's something wrong. Let me give you a Wisconsin example. There are three principal Republican candidates left in the race running for governor to take on Tony Evers in November. And by the way, the election, the primary election is August 9. It's 4 weeks from yesterday. It's 3 weeks from next Tuesday. So start paying attention to this thing. When the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the Republican Supreme Court, on a partisan basis, 4-3, ruled that drop boxes could not be used in Wisconsin unless they were inside the clerk's office. The Republicans jumped on that to question whether or not we should decertify the last election. Now, first of all, the decision itself was absurd. Drop boxes were used in 2016. When Trump won, nobody said anything. Drop boxes were used in all the elections in this state in 2020, and no Republican is urging that any Republican winner get overturned. Nobody's suggesting that Voss's election be overturned. Nobody is suggesting that any of the Republican congressmen be overturned, only that Biden should be overturned. It's not a good faith opinion in the first place, because it had been used before. There's no allegation, no credible allegation at all of any impropriety, none whatsoever. They're under 24/7 surveillance, they're tamper proof, and there has been no impropriety, and they're used around the country. That decision was done to benefit the Republican Party. Our Supreme Court is a Republican court. It's not an independent, nonpartisan court. Same with the U.S. Supreme Court. But here's how the Republican candidates for governor reacted. Now, one of them is not only not mainstream, this guy Ramthan, Tim Ramthan from Campbellsport, but he's kind of a loose cannon, and he's at, you know, I don't know, 5% in the poll. He's not going anywhere. And gets up and gives a press conference. And first of all, he announces dramatically, quote, "I am not a conspiracy theorist." Reminds me of Nixon saying, "I am not a crook." You may not have been born at the time, but when he was on his way out, when he resigned, he said, "I am not a crook." Well, you know, who says I am not a crook? Only a crook says I am not a crook. The average person who is not a crook doesn't have to say it. It looks weird. So Ramthan glowers, "I am not a conspiracy theorist." Okay, "I am not Quasimodo swinging out of the bell tower with one hand." I mean, this guy, it gives you the shivers, quite frankly, listen to him talk. He is a QAnon, he makes QAnon references. It's very sad that he gets elected in Campbellsport, frankly. I know the area, friends in Campbellsport. And I'll tell you what, this guy's going nowhere. So you can discount him. He said, of course, we have to undo the 2020 election. And so I'd ask him, okay, Ramphin, should we undo the 2016 election where they were used for Trump? Well, no. Okay, Ramphin, in 2020, you were reelected in Campbellsport. Should there be, should your election be decertified? No way. No way. Yeah, how about Tiffany up in Hazelhurst? Should his election, no way, he's a Republican. Okay, yeah. So Voss, no, his shouldn't be, you know. Oh, I get it, only Biden. Right, only Biden. This guy's Looney Tunes. You don't have to worry about him, except that he's running for governor and gets publicity. But then there's Clayfish. Now, Clayfish, the Duchess of Foxconn, is not going to go anywhere. She's not competent to be governor. But the Duchess tried to thread the needle here, and she goes, well, I think we should look forward. You know, there's not much we can do about the past, but let's make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, wishy-washy and weird. But Michaels is a guy that is beginning to concern me only in this respect. He says, I saw the interview, he said, I'm not going to say if I'd uncertify the election. I'm a businessman. I don't say things in advance. Well, yes, you do. If you're a public company, you file things with the SEC, and they better be accurate. And you quote things, and you quote bids, and you quote prices. So you do say plenty in advance. In any event, this is a guy who is trying to play fast and loose. He's endorsed by Trump and Tommy Thompson. Now, Tommy Thompson's a moderate. Trump is Trump. And so he's trying to have the best of both worlds. On this, he's not saying whether he'd do it, but he didn't come right out and say that's ridiculous. We have honest elections in this state. He wouldn't do that. And right to work, the construction industry and his company lobbied Walker to keep unions, to not do right to work, not apply them to construction workers, because construction, the trades, train their people at their expense, out of union dues. I've been to some of their training sites. I've been to them for the machinists. I've been to them for the laborers, and they put a lot of effort into it. And they teach safety, and they put up mock construction sites, which are very expensive. And he even gave leave, Michaels did, to an employee to go and lobby and protest for right to work. Now what he says is no, he's against right to work. Now what he goes, no, I was for it all the time for Walker. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. On immigration, he lobbied against Walker's proposal to crack down on immigrants in this state who are working hard, who are not here legally. Why? Because a lot of them work in the construction trades, and they're very good workers. There wouldn't be, most of the cows in the state wouldn't be milked if it weren't for the people who are here who are undocumented. You'd shut down our dairy farms. Now he claims, I didn't do that. So I don't know about this guy. You know, there's people on the moderate side who think he is just BSing the base, the Trump base, get himself in, and then he'll go the other way like Thompson. Others, and I'm in this other camp, think he's being so extreme in what he's saying, it's going to be hard for him to go back, and he may think he has a better career in national politics sucking up. We're going to the lines. Robert of West Dallas, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Robert?
Good morning. The August 9th primary is the 26, 27 days away. I think people really need to start thinking about who they're going to back in the primary for the Senate race. I am particularly like Sarah Godlewski. You know, she's won statewide twice. I think the contrast between her and Ron Johnson, you know, when we're talking about issues like Roe and reproductive health and other issues, I think will be stark when you put those two against each other. I have a big concern, even though I like the other candidates, that Lazary will be pinned with lack of experience, and then they'll try to cast Mandela Barnes as the other, so that maybe they'll do well in Madison, Milwaukee, but when we get out to the rural areas, they'll probably underperform. That's where my head's at. I hope other people are starting to think about it, and then also, you know, make a point to make sure you get out there. That's very vital this year. To make sure that we're participating in all elections. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Robert. I'm glad you called in. Anybody who wants to tout another candidate is welcome to call in. I'm going to agree with you on one thing and disagree on another. I know Sarah Godlewski. You know, I've had lunch with her and her campaign manager, Scott Spector, and I like her very much. And I think she's a very able candidate. But where I disagree with, I don't see the others as having the vulnerabilities you say they have. Alex Lazary is supported by an awful lot of people whom I know who are very serious people in the Democratic Party. And when you say lack of experience, I mean people have different experiences. He's young, but so's Mandela Barnes, who's also a good candidate. And Alex Lazary has significant business experience. And so, and he's also able to put resources into this case to fight the black money, black ops, dark money that Johnson has. So I think Lazary, frankly, would be a terrific candidate. I also think Mandela Barnes would be a terrific candidate. Mandela Barnes, I've known him a long time. Very solid guy. He's a guy I think people like. They like him very much. He's experienced. I mean, he's been 4 years lieutenant governor. Lazary has been several years now with the Bucks as vice president. And, you know, I mean, what was Ron Johnson before he got in? He had nothing. So, and then Tom Nelson. I know Tom Nelson. I knew Tom Nelson back when he was majority leader and back when he was on the ticket with Tom Barrett running for governor as lieutenant governor. And he's doing a very fine job in Outagamie County. He really is. I don't know who's going to win, but I'm very glad you called in. And I certainly echo your sentiments that Sarah Godlewski is a very fine candidate. But I will say this, Alex Lazary is a very fine candidate. Mandela Barnes is a very fine candidate. And Tom Nelson's a very fine candidate. We're blessed with a couple of very fine candidates. So I would not write any of them off. And remember something, when you run against an incumbent, an election is a referendum on the incumbent. It's not a referendum on you. And Ron Johnson right now has something like a 15 negative favorable, unfavorable ratio. This guy has said things and done things. And the straw that broke the camel's back was when he comes in and he goes, he tries to send the fake electors from Wisconsin and Michigan to Pence to try to get him in the big steal to try to get him to not certify the election. And remember something, it's not about the insurrection so much as the people behind it. The idea was Pence would say, no, there's fraud. Justice Department would. The state legislatures would combine like they get together like they did in 1876 and just say, we are going to accept the fake electors in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Trump is president, and it goes to the House of Representatives, and Nancy Pelosi doesn't run it. It's not, each state gets one vote. So just because we have a slight majority, more than half the states are dominated by Republicans, and their vote would be Republican. Wyoming, for instance, has one congressman, and they would get a vote. California has 56 congressmen, and it's Democratic. They get one vote. Trump would then be president. That's what Ron Johnson was trying to finagle. So any one of our candidates, I will proudly support in the general election. Sarah Godlewski, as Robert says, is top notch. Sarah Godlewski is, so is Alex Lazary. So is Mandela Barnes. So is Tom Nelson. So all of you advocates out there, get behind them, get behind whichever one you want. And then let's get behind whoever wins. And what's very good is there's been very little negative among them, very little negative. And that's rare. And the Republicans, they do it all the time, but it's very rare in the Democratic Party and in politics in general. And yet in this election, people have been basically putting out their own message. So that's what I would have to say to that. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're on, but we're about to go to a break. You hang on. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Mark?
Yeah, if the Republicans had any integrity at all, they'd be saying that the election, you know, the 2020 election was fair and the results were honestly tallied and the winner won and Joe Biden won the election. They just come right out and say it, but they have no integrity. Their loyalty is to Donald Trump and to the big lie, and the violence that they have caused, the damage they've done to our trust of our governmental systems is how do you repair that after you've done this damage? Because they continue to damage it. Day in, day out, they damage the thing. They damage it. They bring up nonsense information on, it's Hunter Biden this, Hunter Biden this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but for Hunter Biden's laptop, would that be accepted as evidence, considering that the chain of custody was lost on that laptop? Now they claim, oh, we got information now from the cloud, and we don't know how much information is actually accurate, how much was hacked into, how much was, planted up there in the cloud.
Well, Mark, let me just say this before we start getting into, first of all, the only people who raise things like Hunter Biden are people in the Republican Party who will turn around and they'll try to say, okay, well, maybe Trump got five people killed in a bloody civil war, and maybe he set up a red wedding in the day of the rope with Hunter Biden. Now, remember something. The history of the presidency, many presidents, probably most of them, have had a relative who was the black sheep, okay? For instance, Jimmy Carter's brother Billy Carter was a black sheep, and Billy Carter represented Libya in the middle of the oil embargo and in the middle of our policy again in the Middle East to make sure that extremists were controlled. And he represented Libya. Bill Clinton had a half brother named Roger Clinton, who was up to some shenanigans. George W. Bush had Neil Bush, one of his brothers, who was committed securities fraud. You can pick your friends, you can't pick your relatives. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so I'm tired from the Republicans hear about Hunter Biden. And instead of getting the chain of custody and all this kind of stuff, I don't care about Hunter Biden. Joe Biden had nothing to do with anything Hunter Biden was doing that they claim is illegal. And if they have different information, they can bring it out. But they don't have different information. For one thing, when Trump controlled the government and had the attorney generals, they didn't do anything about it either. So you can chalk it up to the fact that everybody, probably a lot of people listening to this show, have a black sheep relative. So what? People are human. I get it. But thanks, as always, for calling in, Mark. And without getting in the weeds on chain of custody and all this stuff, I think we can cut right through that. Now, there is a kind of a disturbing development in Wisconsin. I want to make sure that people understand this. The Wisconsin Election Commission, remember, three Democrats, three Republicans, up until recently, many of their decisions had been 6-0 or 5-1. Now they've gotten politicized on the Republican side. And so they were asked to provide guidance to clerks regarding the drop box decision, election clerks. Believe it or not, there are about 1,800 clerk-type people around the state in every county, every municipality, and then there are deputy clerks and so on. There are 1,800 of them involved in these elections. And most of them are not lawyers. In fact, very few of them are lawyers. And whenever something comes up, they go to the Wisconsin Election Commission, three Democrats, three Republicans, well, what do we do? And they issue guidance and they talk about it and so on. Well, in this case, they met yesterday and they're going to provide no guidance. And their message is, you're on your own, figure it out. That's not right. That is simply not right. And the reason is the Republicans try to load up the guidance, and the obvious guidance It's a bad decision. Okay, I get it. But at least you should tell the clerks, okay, here's the guidance. I'll give it to you right now. Take dictation right now. Number one, you can't have unattended drop boxes. You got to seal them. Number two, you can have drop boxes if they're inside the clerk's office. Number three, it's up to you when you want to keep the clerk's office open beyond regular hours. You got to keep it open during the regular hours. Number four, as long as a clerk receives the ballot, you can have them out with sacks standing on the curb during the day, as long as a clerk's doing it, and that's fine. And that's the guidance. But no, the Republicans wanted to load it up, seriously. And one of the things they wanted to say is, you can't drop off someone else's ballot. Okay, that's what but you can't even mail someone else's ballot. That's not what it said, and that's not legal to say that. They try to load it up with illegal stuff, the three Republicans. They're scared of Trump. They're scared of Trump. So the 1,800 clerks are on their own, but I will give guidance. I will continue to give guidance because it is the truth. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. And it was very rare to be right-wing in 1968 and 1969 because of the Vietnam War. But he was, and I always figured, well, he went on to law school and he'll just be a right-wing lawyer. But he got his way into government, signed up with right-wing candidates like Trump. But for him to say his criticism of Trump that he was just not competent to pull it off, this is an implication that it would be okay to have a coup in the United States if you were competent. In other words, instead of ginning up a violent insurrection, actually push forward more skillfully than Trump and have the states refuse to certify their own presidential elections. And then like in 1876, when Rutherford Hayes was rammed through, even though he lost the election over Sam Tilden, that 50 years later, we're going to do the same thing. And then he boasts. He says, look at Venezuela, where their coup was unsuccessful. Look, there's something strange about the Trump government, all of the people in the Trump government. It is obvious why Moscow Mitch rammed through when he was in charge of the Senate. They had the majority. He got rid of the filibuster for cabinet appointments and Supreme Court appointments. Otherwise, you would not have had Amy Comey Barrett. You would not have had some of these people who got nominated. You'd have an entirely different Supreme Court. You also would not have had most of Trump's cabinet. If it would have required 10 Democratic votes, they wouldn't have confirmed John Bolton or any other clowns in the Trump cabinet. So why, if Moscow Mitch did it to really injure the United States with these appointments, why aren't Manchin and Sinema agreeing to do it now, right now, for voting rights, for SB1 and HR1, to standardize federal elections around the country and stop the tampering? Why are they not doing it? That is the tragedy of this. The one way out will be if Manchin and Sinema are not our margin of majority. It'll be not just that we hold the Senate, but we add two more. If we add two more and have 52 Democratic senators and two of them go rogue, Manchin and Sinema, we'll still have 50 votes to get through HR1 and SB1, which is the voting rights bill. That is the linchpin of what's going on. Let me tell you something else. And I think it was Joe of Madison called in the other day and asking this. And I want to reiterate something that is very, very dangerous is on the horizon. The Wisconsin Supreme, or the U.S. Supreme Court, has taken certiorari, which means they've agreed to hear a case out of North Carolina in the fall, where they're being asked to declare, to rule, to enter a judgment that state legislatures can do anything they want in federal or state elections, and they're not even subject to the oversight on appeal of their own state Supreme Courts or their own state governors by veto. So if they want to say presidential elections are beauty contests, we pick the electors, we will gerrymander the state every 2 years. We can ensure a perpetual gerrymander for a century, because take a look what's happened in Wisconsin. Walker gerrymandered it when he won in 2010, and it's now gerrymandered to 2030 because of a Republican Supreme Court. But let's say we have a Democratic Supreme Court. Let's say we get Judge Janet Protasiewicz, my candidate, who is running Pat Rogensack, one of the three justices who voted not to certify Biden as stepping down, not running for re-election. Judge Janet is running. Principal opponent is this fellow Kelly, who's a Trump MAGA guy who would not certify Biden. Believe me, he would not certify Biden. We've got to get her in, then we'll have 4-3. But even with a Democratic Supreme Court, this Republican U.S. Supreme Court is about to write a decision that says the state Supreme Courts even don't matter. The governor doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the Democratic governor. The gerrymandered Republicans can keep gerrymandering. They can decide how many voting sites there are. Remember in Arizona, they originally said there'd be one voting site per county. So some tiny county, you know, Rabbit Hole, Arizona, gets one voting site, has 500 people. Phoenix, with millions of voters, gets one voting site. The lines would extend for 10 miles, and they wouldn't all get to vote. They can do that. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. They can do it. And in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, gerrymandered Republican legislatures, the legislature could say, under the Supreme Court's theory, it's a beauty contest, we'll take it into account. By the way, we're certifying the fake electors. This decision is liable to be 5-4. I think Roberts would not go that far, although I'm not sure. Amy Coney Barrett is the vote that's going to put it over. She was proposed. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in October of 2020. On November 3rd, Trump lost the election. Moscow Mitch rammed Amy Coney Barrett through with no vetting, no real chance to talk to her, and she was confirmed lame duck, nominated by Trump, who had lost the election, and confirmed by Republican senators who were not running for re-election and would not be around after January. And that vote is supposed to strip us of our democracy. But let me tell you something. That can't be permitted to happen. That's not legitimate. That's not constitutional. If you want to be a real originalist, I'll be a real originalist. There's nothing in the Constitution that lets the Supreme Court overturn any law or interfere at all. Back in 1788, when George Washington was elected president, the Supreme Court was basically seen as an overall appellate court that would administer commercial disputes. About 200 years ago, they started to stick their nose into overturning things when Congress ordered that they do something, the court do something, and they said, no, we're equal to Congress. You can't tell us what to do. Then, I don't know, 50, 60 years go by, 50 years to the Dred Scott decision, when they stick their nose and tell Congress and states what to do. Well, the Dred Scott decision saying that people of African descent couldn't be citizens was so appalling, among other things, that led to the Civil War. And in the Civil War, let me give you an example. Let's say the federal court, the Supreme Court, was very, very segregationist at that point, very pro-South. Suppose they had issued a decision saying that ordering Lincoln not to invade the South, not to use force of arms to keep the Union together, saying under the Constitution, they had a right to secede. What do you think Lincoln would have done? I'll tell you what he would have done. I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have arrested them. I would have put them in prison. We will not tolerate treason. And then Lincoln would have continued to execute the Civil War. There's an old saying that the Supreme Court follows the election returns. When Roosevelt was elected in 1932, the U.S. Supreme Court invalidated the New Deal, said that it violated the Constitution. People were so angry, there was a depression going on. What happened was that Roosevelt said, I'm going to pack the court with more justices. And that scared them, and then they came correct with some respect. I mean, at some point, if Amy Coney Barrett is the deciding vote and she's illegitimate and this court is an illegitimate Republican court, Biden will have no choice but to appoint five other justices or seven right away, ram them through with no discussion. But that takes Manchin and Sinema. Manchin and Sinema are playing footsies with the Republicans. You see what's going on. So I'm going to leave this in the back of your minds. If we get a decision coming up this year that says that the corrupt gerrymandered legislatures can do whatever they want and strip us of our democracy, don't take that line down. Everybody's going to have to decide himself, herself, what they want to do about enforcing our democracy. But you can't take that line down. George Washington didn't take it lying down when King George did something very similar. Go to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more at back after the break. In the year 2525, if man is still alive. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. I'm glad you're talking again about the Supreme Court. I really appreciate it. All this should not be new. It's not new to me, and I know it's not new to you. This was planned and calculated 20-plus years ago, even farther than that. But Newt Gingrich kicked it off when he said we're going to war with Democrats. And then when Walker was around, and even before that, there was a calculated move to stack the Supreme Court, both in the state and in the federal government. And this was all planned. I remember being around those people. I can even tell you some of their big supporters out of, in Wisconsin who wanted this, who preached this, who said, we got to control the Supreme Court, we control the country. And that's exactly what's going on. I'm afraid it's already gone too far to totally correct and get back to democracy, and here's why. I'd love to vote for Adam and Liz. I think that would put some sense of morality back into the Republicans. But even with that side, I don't think they're against stacking the court. I personally don't agree. I can't see them saying, oh, yeah, we want a balanced court. So that's why I think, I don't know, it could be we've lost something we may never get back. The only thing we can do is what your radio station is doing and we're all doing is get out and educate people. Don't kick them off. Don't get in a big argument, fist fight, whatever, shouting at, swearing. Say, look, let's talk about this. Let's develop this. We want a democracy. It started, part of it was, and you remember this, Matt, they knew they couldn't win the union vote, so what did they do? Destroy the union. They couldn't beat the union vote. I'm sorry. They couldn't beat it, so they had to destroy it. All this is calculated. All this, and when you look at the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist and National Review, I go on, Judicial Review, all these goofy think tanks that are tax-free, pumping tons of money in to calculate this move, it's over the top. I don't know if we can hang on to democracy. Give me your thoughts. I'll hang up. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, excellent comments, Bill. Excellent, as always. Let me hit a couple of things that you said. Number one, on Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, They are two people of real integrity. I can't tell you how much I admire them, and I would love to see them get in the race for president. You know, maybe with Liz as the presidential nominee and Adam Kinzinger as the vice president. The only difficulty with that, quite frankly, is that they'd have to get nominated in the Republican Party. And the way the Republican Party is now, there's a fascist fever that has raised the temperature of the Republican Party. And I don't think they would make it. Now, there was some scuttlebutt that Mitt Romney is considering a third party run for president, sort of like Ross Perot in 1992. Now, third party, you know, historically does not win in the United States. I think the theory is that it would take votes away from Trump if he's the nominee. But if he were to pick Liz Cheney as his VP and Mitt Romney with, you know, whatever you may think of Mitt Romney, he did vote to convict Trump twice. He did stand up to Trump. And that would be a very attractive ticket, quite frankly. I'm a supporter of Joe Biden. Unlike many, I don't know, some of the so-called pundits and intellectuals in the Democratic Party, I think he's doing a very fine job. Inflation's coming down. The price of gas keeps coming down. He's in a very tough position with the Ruskies, the Mafia Ruskies right now, backing up Ukraine. The Democrats are the ones that are supporting Eastern Europe, supporting NATO. The Republicans under Trump opposed NATO. They said they were going to drag us out of NATO, and they did not back up Ukraine. They did not. In fact, they weren't going to send them weapons until Ukraine came up with some crooked investigation of Biden. You can't trust the Republicans with a foreign policy, quite frankly. So, but let's see what happens there. When it comes to packing the court, normally I've been opposed to that. But here's what I'm saying. There may be a decision, Bill, that says that the legislatures can do whatever they want and no state Supreme Court or governor in their own state can interfere. Then you're going to have the Vosses and the Ramthams and people like that. And they are going to do whatever they want. No absentee voting as well as drop boxes. Very limited voting hours. Very few polling places in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Racine, and Kenosha. Everything they can, and then appointing people to count the votes. Not electing them, appointing them. And they'll be able to say, which they can even now if they get a resolution passed, a referendum, that you don't get to vote for lieutenant governor, treasurer, secretary of state, or head of the Department of Public Instruction. And you will have gerrymandered legislatures for 100 years. That's the destruction of our democracy. If that decision comes out, something has to be done. If it were Lincoln and we were at war in our own country, he'd arrest that Supreme Court, send them to Guantanamo, treat them fairly, feed them, and so on. Give them various exercise opportunities. They have betrayed the United States if they do that. And they're already on the way to betraying the United States. A less drastic way of doing it, because Biden will not arrest the Supreme Court, and we're not at war here in the United States. What you could do is have him appoint five more justices now, five of them, ram it through, but we need Manchin and Sinema. Ram it through. Suspend the filibuster. Oh, wait a minute. Moscow Mitch already suspended the filibuster for Supreme Court appointments. Then there would be 14 of them, or maybe make 15 of them, and undo all of the atrocities that they have done, which will have been getting rid of our democracy is the main one, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and a bunch of others. That's what Franklin Roosevelt was ready to do in the 1930s until there was such popular support for the New Deal that the Supreme Court chickened out. It chickened out. The problem is things like voting or financing of campaigns are a big snore to most people. Most people don't even think about it. They go, oh, well, and they get on with their lives. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It creeps in on little cat's feet. One briefcase at a time, one brief at a time, one judge at a time. It's insidious. Most people don't pay attention. And you say, let's educate the populace. I agree. But you still get, even in presidential elections, you might get 60 or 70% of the people voting. Most elections, you get under 50. In primary elections, you're lucky to get 20%. And the other sad thing about that is that Walker moved the primaries and the elections to August instead of the old September one. People are still on vacation precisely to have a low turnout. That is what is happening. Bill, as always, thanks a lot for calling in. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, what's on your mind today?
I know we're coming to the end of the show, but I wanted to revert back, because I think the show has done that, to a comment that I believe it was Wisco Paul said, or perhaps it was Mark from LaSac, from SAC. What is the effort to create a distrust in our democracy, a distrust in elections? It's the heartbeat of this whole campaign. It's to make people feel, my vote doesn't count, I can't trust the results. This whole show that you've had has illustrated that deleterious, really, really negative, awful cloud that's being put over our elections. And you said, and it's true, that Wisconsin has a history of very fair elections, very fairly run. And when the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is a very right-wing group, looked at the last election with Trump and said, we can't find anything. I mean, they are a group with an agenda, and they couldn't find anything. I hope this is a subject that you, and I know it will be a subject that you return to, Matt, because it is so important and so critical. Thanks for this really great show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Yeah, I'm going to respond now, although we are running out of time, but I will respond in future shows. You stated not just the truth, but really one of the core problems facing our country. There are three levels of attack. Some of them are the nut level on our elections. Trump, Tucker Carlson, you know, Ramphin of Campbellsport, and they're dismissed. But the second one are people in positions of power. Three of our Supreme Court justices would not certify Joe Biden. 140 Republican congressmen wouldn't certify Joe Biden. When that happens, Ron Johnson sent fake electors from Michigan as well as Wisconsin to Mike Pence. That then fuels the third level, which are the average person in the Republican Party leadership who kind of wince and shrug and sigh and cast their eyes up and say, well, probably something wrong, but, you know, let's look at the future. The minute it's insidious, the minute you say probably something wrong, the average person has ingested all three of these levels. They've seen the nuts. They go, well, that sounds strange. Then they go, oh, well, Ron Johnson, 140 congressmen and three Supreme Court justices. There's something to that. But then they'll see leaders of small business. You'll see school board members. You'll see people whom they know and respect just pick up on it and shrug. That is insidious. Everybody out there listening has been to an election in Wisconsin. You know how fair they are. It's a lie. You've got to come out like Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and Paul Ryan, say it's a lie. We have very fair elections. Joe, thanks for calling in. We're leaving the show today. Great show. Matt Flynn Direct back, same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
From out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side.